Thank you so much. I'm going to be staying in the shade. I hope that's okay with everybody. I think we're like not such a huge crowd, so I hope that's okay. Right. So I am going to talk about the Parliamentary Investigative Committee on Mass Surveillance that's currently happening in Germany. Yesterday, I gave the same talk in German, and afterwards, somebody who mistook me for a politician asked me why I came to this camp of hackers to talk about politics, and so just to avoid the misunderstanding that I'm a politician, I come from this community. I have a background in media activism. I was working a while on digital security. Surveillance is a topic that I'm super interested in, and last year I was asked if I wanted to be working as an advisor for this parliamentary committee, and I thought that was super exciting, so this is how I got into parliament. And what I do is I am the advisor to one of the four parliamentary groups in Germany in the federal parliament, the left party, which is similar to the socialist party, I think, in many countries. What I'm going to talk about is a little bit about how this inquiry committee works, what it is, what it can do and what it can't do, and what it has done in the past year. And I have 45 minutes. I'll try to keep it shorter than that because I think it's more interesting if you get to ask questions. I don't know if I manage, but I'll try. So how this committee came to be is that in June 2013, the Snowden revelations. In August of 2013, the German government, which was and still is a conservative government, kind of declared the scandal to be over. There was no issue, no big deal. Anything was fine and no illegal mass surveillance was happening. In September 2013, Germany had federal elections. And the outcome of that was pretty depressing because we currently have an 80% majority of the what we call the big coalition of social democrats and conservatives who formed the government, and a very small opposition of the Green Party and the Socialist Party that has only 20%. Nonetheless, the federal parliament, with the public scandal that shook Germany just like many other countries, decided they all voted for having an investigative committee, or inquiry is the formal term for this, to investigate mass surveillance in Germany. This committee represents the majority that we have in parliament. It is made up of 8 members, 4 of which are conservative, 2 social democrat, 1 socialist, 1 green party. That also describes the resources that the opposition in the committee has, like very small, 2 members of parliament, each 1 advisor and a bit of staff around to deal with the whole thing, up against 6 people who basically represent the government in the committee. The parliament voted on a document that kind of forms the basis of what this committee can do. And this task of the committee starts with the wording: the committee of inquiry should, triggered in particular by press coverage following the revelations by Edward Snowden regarding internet and telecommunications surveillance, clarify for the period from 2001 onwards. And then there's 3 parts that we are meant to investigate. First, whether the intelligence services of the Five Eyes states are collecting data and communication from, to, and in Germany, and whether the German government had knowledge of such practices, combated or possibly exploited them. This is basically the main task that we are currently working on. Secondly, whether and to what extent communications data of members of the federal government, federal staff and members of the German Bundestag, which is our parliament, was collected by the intelligence services of the states named in point 1. And thirdly, whether recommendation to ensure the protection of telecommunications and the integrity and confidentiality of IT systems and confidential communication in the state sphere are required. This is to be done before the next federal election, which is in 2 years. So this is basically what we're trying to answer. And then there is like 5 pages of details, exactly how the surveillance might be happening, et cetera, et cetera. 2 pretty interesting points in those are that specifically mentioned and included is the drone war, and the question how Germany participates or supports the U.S. Drone war in Afghanistan, Pakistan, etc. And the two interesting questions here are because the U.S. military has a base in Germany in Ramstein. I think those of you who saw Citizen 4 or know about the drone war know this, and it's extremely likely that the geographic location of that military base is necessary for the U.S. military to actually coordinate the flying of the drones, because the satellites that actually reach into the Middle East cannot be reached from the U.S. territory. It's a U.S. military base, so it's kind of a mix whether it's German or U.S. It's German territory, and the legal status is that the U.S. military has to go by German law. Germany is not at war with Afghanistan or Pakistan or anyone currently, and so for German citizens, it's illegal to participate or help such a war to happen. And the fact that Germany allows this coordination on German soil, even though it's a military base, is extremely controversial and legally not quite clear. So there is that. And the second aspect is the question whether Germany supports the war by handing over intercepted data to the U.S. Intelligence that helps localize targets. And the interception of data, the mass interception of data through satellites is clearly happening on German soil through Germany. And I'm going to talk in a little bit more about how this cooperation is happening and what we've found out about it so far. The second part that's also really interesting is to what extent the German government enable U.S. security authorities to take part in the questioning of asylum seekers, or whether they actually question asylum seekers in Germany themselves. This sounds at first really absurd to happen, but it's kind of a remnant of the Cold War, when refugees coming from the East ending up in West Germany, of course, were welcomed by a whole wide array of Western spies who were totally interested in finding out what these people from the East had to tell them about what was going on in the East. And this whole thing is still going on and is to be investigated by the committee as well. So what happened so far? The committee kind of works similar to a legal case in Germany. So to be stating the obvious, in a parliamentary democracy, the parliament controls the government. That's the theory. And so the government has the oversight over intelligence services. So legally, the parliament is entitled to find out and to know and have information about what the government knows about what the intelligence services are doing. That's the theory. And the way that works is now that we, or me helping the members of parliament, are requesting specific documents on specific topics, for example, anything relating to IT security that was filed in the Ministry of Defense between 2001 and 2015 or something. So then the Ministry of Defense is required to hand over this material to the inquiry. We then read the stuff, we analyze it, and then decide whether we are going to hear specific witnesses to talk about specific items and specific evidence. We've had something like 50 of such hearings, 25 public hearings and then 25 non-public other meetings. So 25 witness hearings, mostly so far on the cooperation of the German intelligence, and the equivalent to the NSA in Germany is called BND, Bundesnachrichtendienst. And they are cooperating with the Five Eyes. This is known, it's a known fact, it's no surprise, it's no scandal in itself. This is how Western democracies work and cooperate. But the details of how much data is being shared and how this is going by German law is what we have been spending a lot of time on in the past year. What's interesting and what's currently an ongoing issue of debate is whether and what actually constitutes mass surveillance. because the intelligence is saying, of course, this is not mass surveillance, it's targeted surveillance, and therefore it's totally okay, and it's not an issue that should worry the inquiry. Then how do you draw the line between targeted surveillance if, for example, the NSA hands over 40,000 selectors, meaning identifiers of targets that could be email addresses, phone numbers, chat IDs, names, whatever, anything that can be used to identify someone, and we know that the number of such selectors that the NSA hands over to the BND, who then uses these selectors to search intercepted data for targets. And in their view, this is not mass surveillance because they have targets. In our view, when we say if they intercept from satellites or cable, specific cables, not all the cables, but 100% of the traffic that goes through, and then insert the selectors, in our perspective, that's mass surveillance, in their perspective, it's not. So this is kind of one of the issues of debate that we've been having with the government. We suspect that at specific moments or in specific operations, they hand over raw data. We have not been able to prove that yet, but that's also an issue of investigation that has been going on in the past year. We started basically by understanding and helping the MPs understand how the interception of data works these days. And what has been found over the past year is that the German laws that regulate how interception of data happens basically still focuses on analog communication. For example, the German law defines that the BND can legally intercept 20% of data in a given defined cable that needs to be passed through an oversight committee. But then if they say we are looking for a specific people who communicate through this cable because they plan an attack on whatever, then they get the allowance to intercept 20% of the given cable. This makes sense technically in the analog world, but in the digital world, it doesn't, because the law very clearly says that they have to separate the 20% of the traffic before they look at whatever is in the cables. And if you have packet-switched communication, then they will not be able to make sense of what they intercept, because the 20% are not complete emails, but they are pieces of emails. And so the BND kind of clandestinely changed their understanding of this law and saying, okay, first we need to make sense of what's in there, and then we separate the 20%. These are the types of things that we are investigating very detailed, the relation between technology, politics, and law, which is difficult for members of parliament to understand. So we spent quite a bit of time in actually trying to figure out how that works, how communication works, how laws these days are not up to date with the development of the technology that intelligence are using, because already what has been explained to us by witnesses who were forced by law to explain these details, they describe stuff that happened in 2005, 2006, and we're now 10 years onwards, and I'm sure that I don't know how technically cooperation between the NSA and the BND these days is working. But this is something where we learned a lot and focused very much on already the German intelligence and how they work. It's fascinating for me personally, I have to admit that, to get this view at these details, because normally, and that's also fascinating to see when we have witnesses in these public hearings, these are people who are technicians with the intelligence. They normally are not allowed to talk to anyone about what they do, not to their family, not to their friends, often not even to the colleagues in the next department. And all of a sudden they have the situation of being in public hearings with public audience, having to answer questions that are trying to find out where the illegal activity is actually happening. That's we're all learning a lot, and I think for the German public who are following closely what's going on, it's extremely revealing to understand both the technicality but also the attitude of the people who work in intelligence. Already for that, I think that's quite amazing to see. And at the same time, it's very frustrating to see how they have a non-surprising good way of turning what they do into something that they define as legal. As I explained about how you define mass surveillance versus non, we have an ongoing debate with government representatives who are also in these hearings who keep telling us this is none of your business. It's not mass surveillance. You are here to investigate mass surveillance, but that is no mass surveillance. So we have these legal battles all the time. I'm gonna move on a little here. In October, or let me put this differently, some of the material that we request from the government it's all classified material, but classified on different levels. So there is a very low level of classification that's basically only for Parliament use, and a lot of material that's handled in different committees in Parliament has this very low level of almost public, but anyone in Parliament can look at it. And then you have secret and top secret and kind of super top secret on top of that. And so a lot of the interesting stuff is, of course, has a very high classification. I had to go through a procedure of clearance, which took half a year to just get the like lowest level of clearance to look at these documents, which was an interesting procedure in itself. And so a lot of the stuff that we get from the ministries and from the government has secret or top secret classification. But there is also and I don't know how many of you followed the Landesverrat issue of Markus Beckerdahl and André Meister that's currently going on, like two bloggers of the Netzpolitik blog who were just accused of treason, and there was a whole issue of whether the government, in its fear that too much stuff is being leaked, is actually going after the press now, which is extremely unusual in Germany, at least. So we have a lot of stuff that's being leaked through the media for the whole last year. And I think what, for example, makes Germany different from, for example, the United Kingdom is that there is a number of press team, investigative media teams that are really after this issue and are following closely and are publishing a lot of classified stuff. In the UK, that's different in a way that basically only The Guardian is critical of what the government does, while basically all the other media are following the government rules, if you want. So that is super helpful in our case, because there is a lot of stuff that we are not allowed to talk about in public. But once it's in the press, of course, we can ask questions in public hearings. Even though then, and that's can get quite ridiculous, the government representatives tell us that we are not, it's not me, I'm not talking in these things, it's the MPs who do that, but that they criticize them all the time if they even say the names of specific operations that have a top secret classification, even though the names of the operations have been in the papers. So it gets quite ridiculous with this ongoing struggle over what can be said in public and what has to stay secret. And one of the like huge scandals that was published in fall, in October, I think, is an operation called Iconal. And this operation is one where the BND is basically intercepting cables in Frankfurt at the like largest European, and if anyone here speaks German, I'm lacking the word now, Internetknoten. What is that? Internet exchange point in Frankfurt, and the D6, and apparently the BND, which is the foreign secret service and meant to be doing intelligence outside of Germany and not in Germany, and only in very very specific cases is allowed to do very specific targeted interception in Germany. But in this case, they had an operation that started in 2002, ended in 2006, where literally huge amounts of data were directly handed over to the NSA. When the German oversight committees found out, when the German public and the government found out, that was a pretty big scandal, and they very much didn't want that to be debated in public. and a lot of people understood how much data was actually being intercepted. And we had a week-long, month-long, very, very precise debate and investigation over how the filtering happens, that, and what's illegal for the BND specifically to do is, of course, handing over data of German citizens to the NSA. That's pretty much a similar thing as I think the debate that's happening in the United States, where the discussion always focuses on whether US citizens are in the focus of US intelligence, where we as non-Americans tend to feel a bit neglected in saying, so why is this debate always happening about American citizens versus it's legal to surveil non-US citizens? But this is basically the same in Germany, because that's how the laws are currently, and this is how the parliamentary debate, at least the political debate, is the one angle of attack that we have in saying, okay, but you have these laws that make it illegal for you to intercept and surveil German citizens, and if you do that, then we have an angle of getting the parliament to understand that something is going on. Of course, there's a larger political debate also whether it's or why it's okay to do mass surveillance on non-German citizens. Same in the US, I assume. Hopefully there will eventually be a debate whether it's okay that the NSA does this surveillance on non-US citizens, but I think it's going to still take a little time until we get to that point. So we have had long rounds of hearings understanding how the BND basically legitimizes handing over this data, because, as they say, they have these different levels of technical filtering, how they make sure that no data of German citizens is being handed over to the NSA, which goes by pretty ridiculous standards, because it starts by top-level domains that end in .de, and that is their way of trying to understand that an email address is an email address of a German citizen. And when you ask them, so what about googlemail.com and people who write emails in English from, for example, Turkey, how would you be able to stop handing over data of German citizens? They kind of assure us that they have ways and means, but of course we unfortunately cannot look at this. And in a way, I think even if we did, it would be difficult to understand how these filters work. But they actually do start out by saying phone numbers that have specific prefixes, mail addresses that have specific domain name endings. And the parliamentarians in the beginning thought this was a good way of making that separation. And it took a long time actually to get them to understand that just because the BND assures everyone that they are going by the law, since they are a German authority, and German authorities always go by the law, which is this is being repeated to us over and over and over again, and the parliament says, well, of course, as they say so, they won't be lying to us, right? So this is how it works. So there is a pretty big chunk of very irrational, bizarre blah blah going on in trying to understand where actually they might be lying to us. And this again, this project that I said, Iconar 2002 until 2006, the story that was given to us was that even the BND, after all, decided that they weren't quite sure that this huge amount of data handed over to the NSA was still controllable by them, and so in 2006 someone decided to stop the project. And they haven't been doing any such thing again. This is the myth that is being presented currently, and that we're still after, trying to understand what actually happened after 2006. And at that point, when we were getting to that, and there were again lots of media articles, both the US government and then the UK government, I think the other way around, started sending messages to the German government, at least this is what is being said in the media, that are closer to the German government, saying if this goes on, if this investigation goes on in Germany, if more of these classified information are being published and publicly debated, then we're going to stop the intelligence cooperation. which from our perspective was great. From the German government and the bigger part of the German public, that was a very scary message, and thinking, okay, they're going to leave us on our own, and then we'll have all of these terrorist attacks. And I'm not surprised that the politicians are scared of that perspective. At the same time, it's of course for us difficult to understand how much, for example, the chancellery, the politicians who don't really know what's happening in intelligence, are just scared to be responsible for this kind of future, or whether this is just a big spin that kind of tries to get the German public to understand that we cannot go down this path any further because it's just too dangerous. If the US stops cooperating, and in one aspect this happened, at least this was said, and I think there's a lot of spin and a lot of lies in there, and it's very difficult to know what's actually true, obviously. It was said that they stopped the cooperation on internet surveillance at some point. Again, we thought at some point, even I don't know until today whether that's true, but apparently Klepper, I think the boss of the DNI or the intelligence coordinator of the United States, said that the parliamentary inquiry was more dangerous than Snowden. And we thought, that's nice to hear, but I think it wasn't meant nice. It was meant to scare the German government, and I think most of you probably saw Citizen 4 at some point or another, and Edward Snowden actually described very well how this cooperation works, because what he said and what we can see in the inquiry is that the United States who have much more resources for intelligence give hardened software to their partners and expect data in return. And this is what's happening in Germany. I assume this is happening everywhere else. One of our assumptions is, after the Iconar project in 2006 was stopped, that maybe the cooperation is not happening on German soil anymore, but they are intercepting undersea cables somewhere else. We are limited to the geographic area of Germany and the Five Eyes. So if this is happening somewhere in the Atlantic just outside of the UK somewhere, then we are not entitled to investigate that. But we so far don't even know whether that is what's happening, or whether we're just plainly being lied to about possible operations where data is being intercepted at cables in Germany. We are extremely interested in any kind of knowledge about these types of things. If you know anything about interception of intelligence operations that are happening to access cables underwater or land, we will find ways to receive this information anonymously, and we would love to understand more about where these operations might be taking place. Another big scandal then kind of erupted in March or April, when we filed a motion to request all material in the German government that had to do with these selectors that I mentioned previously, because there had been rumors, and these rumors have been going around basically since the Echelon project, that was a similar intelligence cooperation for mass surveillance right until 9/11, and that's an interesting foundation for a lot of conspiracy theory. The Echelon project intercepted a lot of data. There was an European intelligence investigation in 99 that ended in 2001. A report was actually published early in the summer of 2001, and the whole story drowned in the 9/11 thing. And already then there were rumors that there was industrial espionage going on in the intelligence cooperation, specific companies, mostly weapons production, European versus United States, were mentioned, that might be one of the side effects or main ideas behind the interception of data. And this came up again now in the current investigation, focusing on EADS, which is a European weapons production company. and Eurocopter, which is also a military company, that there might be US selectors being used to select information from the intercepted data targeting these companies, but also European politicians. Politicians at the EU level, French politicians. And then, so we asked the government, so what do you know about the handling of these selectors by the BND? And the government, by law, was forced to tell us about this. We didn't expect that they would really give us information about this, but it happened that they, at some point, came up with that they had much earlier found a huge number of such selectors that indicate that industrial espionage was going on. And even though from our perspective on this investigation, industrial espionage is not what we are most interested in when we're looking at mass surveillance, but at the same time, of course, the German public, when they understood that the German intelligence is helping the NSA spy on German companies, was not thrilled. When we said that we need to understand what these selectors are to actually know, at least for the parliamentarians, how much of espionage is going on, and this then went further than just the opposition in parliament, because even government parliamentarians also thought, well, if it's industrial espionage, then we need to understand what's going on. And the government said, but we cannot give you this information because we have an agreement with the United States and also with the UK and all others that we are having an intelligence cooperation with, that information about the cooperation can only be shared with third parties if both parties in the cooperation agree, meaning that the German government can only, for example, tell the parliamentarians details about the selectors if the United States government agrees that this happens. And this is a pretty interesting conflict from a point of view of democracy here, parliamentary democracy, because parliament, again, controls the government. And so if parliament says we need to have this information, government in theory needs to inform the parliament. But at the same time, the government says, but we cannot, we have to ask the US for permission first, which also caused some confusion in the German public in how could this be resolved. Most people said, okay, we understand that intelligence cooperation needs to have some agreements. While we said, well, yes, but still government needs to go by what the parliament says, and if we need to understand how this cooperation works, then you cannot ask the US for permission. What kind of a democracy and sovereignty is that? That is an ongoing problem until now, even though I think personally that the question of German sovereignty in this whole debate is not the main point, because I think Germany has sufficient amount of sovereignty in Europe and in the world, so that is not what we are trying to strengthen in the work in this inquiry. But of course, it's something that helps us engage the public into this whole issue of how much right does the parliament have to understand what's going on versus the agreements that happen in secret between intelligence services. At this point, the German media said, but well, you know, this is how intelligence works. Don't be surprised. Don't be naive. This is just how it works. You know, this is how intelligence services work. And we have this intense friction currently between this is just how intelligence works versus we have a parliamentary democracy, and that kind of totally goes against these dynamics. We had... it's like the opposition is currently going to taking this issue to the Constitutional Court, because the government still says we cannot give you these selectors, we cannot let you actually check and look at what the NSA is doing with German data. It has been published last week, quite interestingly, that the German government told us so far, we cannot do this because we cannot break the agreement with the United States, and the US doesn't let you have this information. We just can't do this. It's too dangerous. Last week it was published that the US government apparently now denies that they ever made this statement. So apparently it's not the US government that doesn't allow the German government to hand over this information, but the German government didn't want to let this happen. When I get back to work, I'm very curious about how this is going to go on. This is one level of political debate and spin that we are kind of entangled in between a lot of actors that are kind of difficult to understand. In between, we're trying to still try to understand the technicalities of cooperations. We, in this past year, didn't even get to the activities of the Five Eyes in Germany, which is a main part of the task that we have, because similar to this, what's called the consultation procedure, whether the selectors can be given to the parliament any kind of information, any kind of files and documents that have to do with the intelligence cooperation need to be consulted with the US and the UK governments first, says the German government, which is why we basically so far only looked at the activities of the German intelligence, because there nobody needs to be consulted outside the country whether we can actually look at these at these files, where anything that has to do with agreements, meetings, plans, how to continue with the cooperation, we cannot have, says the government, and will be issue of this constitutional court case that we're currently preparing with the example of the selectors, and we will take that to the constitutional court probably in August, September or so. So these are the main topics of the cooperation that we've been looking at so far. And what's been taking most of our time, and I think I explained a little bit of that, is basically how the German government is trying to stop us from accessing certain documents. There's a whole bunch of methods that they have. The documents are blackened to huge extents. There is an ongoing battle over how classified certain materials are. There is a battle over the restriction of the witnesses to give evidence in court. Also there was a battle, I think maybe some of you heard about this last summer already, whether we will be hearing Edward Snowden as a witness in the inquiry. Interestingly, the whole committee, with the votes of the Conservative and Social Democrats, has decided that we will call Edward Snowden. Like, there's two procedures in having someone be a witness in the inquiry. One is to name him as a witness, and the second is to actually set a date and invite him to come. And the whole committee voted for Edward Snowden to be the prime witness in the committee. He is the witness number one of the committee. But when the opposition said, so we will actually now call him to testify and invite him to Germany, the government majority denied that. And this went on for several months. And we also took that part to the constitutional court and saying the government, basically the government majority in the committee said we cannot invite him unless the government allows him into the country, and the government made the most interesting evasive moves in not having to make a decision that would allow him into the country, which also caused our constitutional court case to fail, basically, because we would have to have a written documented statement of the government saying, no, we don't let him into the country, to be able to protest that in court. And that, in the end, never happened. They keep evading saying this no. Of course, next to that, we had a public debate whether it's a good idea to ask Edward Snowden to come to Germany, whether it would be actually safe, whether he would actually be kidnapped in the process of the travel, whether Germany would have actually the means of protecting him in Germany. Our stance was and still is in saying we want to create the option. And then, of course, it's up to him to decide whether he wants to take that chance. We never got to the point because we're still quarreling with the government. The Constitutional Court, which in Germany is good at fundamental rights issues in the country, but is very close to the government when it comes to issues of foreign policy. And this was very clearly a case where they did not want to make that decision. They kind of basically put it down in saying, we're not, you actually made a formal mistake. This is the wrong court. You should have gone to the Supreme Court with the case. That is an issue where you could have 20 lawyers be busy with something like that. And we don't have the resources for that. Like I said, we have two members of parliament in the committee. We have less than 10 people in the opposition of staff that actually work on these issues, and we would have to have a team of 20 to 50 lawyers to take on all of these different things where we're being obstructed in the work that we do. Some of them, like the levels of classification, the ways how witnesses are being stopped from testifying, etc., etc. So we have to kind of pick certain cases where we think this might have a chance of getting through and getting somewhere. And we currently think that the selector issue has a pretty good chance of getting us and to win this in the court. And if the Constitutional Court actually says, yeah, that clearly was totally unconstitutional to not hand over the selectors, it will be an extremely interesting moment to see how the government then behaves and what that is going to cause. We will probably sometime after the summer move on to different topics. There's also the domestic secret service in Germany, the Verfassungsschutz. Ironically, in German, called the Office for the Protection of the Constitution, that is also involved in the cooperation between BND and NSA. There is also an instance of XKeyscore that is being used by the domestic secret service in Germany. That is going to be something that we will be investigating in the coming months, and then we'll be moving on to the drone war. And we'll see whatever happens then. It's very difficult to predict which other topics will actually come up. I think I've used quite a bit of time by now, and I think I'll stop here now, because actually I think it might be interesting to see what actually is your perspective on the issue. It would be totally interesting for me to see how the perception of the committee and the work is outside of Germany. And what possible expectations are, and if some of you are working on similar issues in other countries. We have very little resources for this type of networking currently, because we're so much focused on what's happening in Germany. But if there is ideas or options or any kind of idea what could be done internationally also on these issues, or if similar investigations are going on in your country, that would be really cool to know. And I'll stop here and hope you have some comments or questions.
Thank you. I'm a Benjamin from a lot of organization, but one of them is La Quadrature du Net, which I'm a co-founder. We sadly have no such investigation currently in France, but we are working on a lot of similar points on private basis. One of the key points is the difference between targeted surveillance and mass surveillance, which has been extremely important in the last surveillance law which passed. Okay. Oops, sorry. So this is one of the points we're working on. And my main question was, are you in contact with my friends of La Quadrature du Net? And do we have some exchanges on this kind of topic already? And if you don't, then we should probably have some chat tonight in the tea house. Would be a nice place. There are a lot of people there. I'm not the right one to chat about it with you, because I work mostly on those cases, but in France, and I'm totally not related to the international contact in La Quadrature, so other people would be more fitted than me. Do you have any chance, is it interesting in your point to have support from organizations, private organizations, activists, etc.? I mean, we in France, we do a lot of legal procedures nowadays. Five are undergoing in front of several high courts, may it be constitutional court or Conseil d'État, etc. Would it be a way for you to obtain something interesting? I mean, can a German organization like maybe CCC run a procedure, in fact, for you? But is there a way to do it so that they can help you on that point? I mean, we are doing it in France without having the 25 or 50 lawyers. We have a bunch of activists and a lot of hope and a lot of work. And maybe it's a way to obtain something interesting, to create a debate in court.
So for the cooperation, I'm totally interested. I also don't have a lot of capacity for it, like I said, but I still think it's really important because there is no point in just doing this nationally and not looking at what's happening outside and how the rest of the world is coping with the whole issue. So that's really interesting. I know Jeremy for a long time, but I don't know anyone else in La Quadrature, so maybe we can talk. For civil organizations doing law cases, it is happening a little bit in Germany, but not very much. So the CCC is involved in one case, and the Internet Exchange is currently thinking about doing a legal case, and it would be great to have more of that, because I think actually it's really important that not just one small committee of people in Parliament works on this, but and as many as possible different points in society, people are doing whatever is possible to fight what's going on. And I think there is a lot of option for legal cases. Some are being prepared. We don't have a very strong organization in Germany that focuses specifically on legal cases. But I know there's debates, and I'm hoping this is slowly going to move in that direction. There's an also, so far, there was the legal perception that these cases can only be started when you can prove that you personally are actually subjected to this type of surveillance. And that's, of course, basically impossible to have evidence on that. But I think there's a debate going on currently where someone just found a European court decision that actually clearly says that you don't need to have this type of evidence to be able to contest these things in court. So I'm having some hope that more is going to happen. Would someone want to like start passing the mic?
Yeah, so real quick, you mentioned you know, talking about the NSA surveillance of non-US people. And one place to kind of start a conversation about that would be tonight at La Quadrature, because we're having an ASCII-FF, like 1.5 hour session. So there's going to be like five or so people from Electronic Frontier Foundation, like basically taking questions from people who want to chat with us. That's at 10 p.m. And my two questions were, one is, have you thought about using something like SecureDrop to try to get leaks from people who work in intelligence to get information to your committee? And the other one was, do you have any thoughts on basically just what it's like to get a security clearance? Because it basically puts someone on the side of protecting state secrets. So I don't know, just if you have any philosophical thoughts about that.
Okay, great for the debate tonight. That sounds super interesting. The security clearance philosophical question. No, I didn't, because I just wanted to get into the documents, basically. I really wanted to have the clearance to be able to read that stuff and to understand more, because, and that's maybe not a very sophisticated way of handling that, but I thought it's a once in a lifetime chance to have this investigation and to have access to the documents to understand a little bit more about intelligence works. Even though I'm not legally allowed to talk about some of these things, I think in the long run, it will be helpful if some of us know a little bit more about how they work. Basically, that was my approach. And I thought if I didn't think much about it because I thought I can do this now if I take the chance now, and I need to say yes now without hesitation, because there was no time to think about it much. And it's of course a good question. I mean, that makes sense to think about how that compromises you when you have these things that you're not allowed to talk about. But I didn't. And the other question was. SecureDrop. Have you ever worked with Parliament software? So yes, we have thought about that, and I'm kind of like in the when I started like actually having this job in Parliament and trying to understand how I have to work, like how the not so classified documents are PDF documents that I can look at, but I have no tool to search through or to index. And like, I have a room full of folders of stuff that I also have digitally, but I have no tool to search and to index this stuff. I work on a Windows machine, and the German government was shaken by a scandal that Claudio, if he feels like it, could talk about more. The German government, the parliament was hacked, and there was a huge situation where it was clear that there was a huge attack going on, but the parliament IT infrastructure was not able to handle the attack. And in a situation where there is both parliament IT infrastructure and next to that, there is the parliamentary groups that handle their own IT infrastructure inside that. So you have a bunch of different IT administrative teams that are completely making their own decisions, obviously, like I'm just the end user of that. And we are having a debate of having some kind of secure drop solution in there, but we don't have the liberty of designing any kind of solution that we would feel entirely comfortable with. So we were in the process of installing something like that when this huge cyber attack shook the German parliament. And currently, I don't think it's a very good idea to install anything inside that thing. At the same time, if you work in parliament, it's really tricky to start building things that are not part of the parliament, but kind of like I don't know if you follow the Hillary Clinton email scandal, but that actually has some really difficult implications of building something kind of outside. But we do get sometimes envelopes with things inside, and that works quite nicely.
First of all, I wanted to thank you for your work and for the explanation given, especially that outside of Germany, we don't really know much about what's going on in the inquiry. You know, we had a little bit of coverage on when the inquiry started, and there was a lot of excitement about it, I felt, but nobody seemed to have kind of kept up and explained exactly what's going on outside of German media. And I think that's a huge pity, because I feel that inquiry could be a great example for many other European countries. My question is, given all these obstacles that you just described, which I was not aware of, and it's very interesting, what do you feel is realistically, what do you feel the inquiry is realistically going to achieve before the elections happen in 2 years?
I really don't know. one of my ideas is that we manage to go through as much of the topics that are part of the task of the committee to, because we only have this chance now to request information about counter-espionage activities of the government, about IT security, about what they know about the surveillance, how it works, about the cooperations between the intelligence. And then, of course, the drone war is one of the most interesting parts in that, where I think sometimes I think we're just really so few people and we're really small confronting all of these different intelligence services that have such a long history of cooperation and such strong power basically in what they do, and there is just no chance of changing any of that. One of the surveillance researchers in Germany recently said that we've had a bunch of intelligence scandals in Germany since the Second World War, and in each of these cases intelligence came out stronger afterwards. So there is a good chance of that happening again. And that's a pretty depressing perspective also, like, for us working in there, like questioning like what is actually the role that we have in there, because what's going to happen after all is that the government is going to say, oh my god, this is really awful, we need to have a little stronger oversight. So they are going to give more resources to the oversight committee, which still relies on intelligence telling them what they do to then file an oversight report that says, yeah, basically, overall, it's all okay what they're doing. This is how parliamentary oversight works. And then we keep having intelligence witnesses saying, yes, we could have done better if we just had more people and more money and more resources. So one of the outcomes is going to be that they will have more people and more money and more resources to do better intelligence work also, because it's such a terrible situation that the German intelligence has so little resource in comparison to the NSA, which have so much more resources, and if we want to be as good as them, la la la. So you get the story. So that is also going to be one of the outcomes. And of course it's a question I ask myself, is it a good idea to be involved in something like that, which, like, you won't be able to really change the course of history with just three or four people. You just won't. And again, on the other hand, I thought the more we can get out into the public now about how that works, that is basically the only chance that we have trying to eventually get to a moment in history where maybe more public debate is happening. We're having in Germany, like, I know that from many non-German countries, it seems as if Germany was like kind of on the forefront of privacy and having these strong movements and having such a great inquiry and having all this stuff that other countries don't have. And at the same time, I'm extremely pessimistic about what the outcome will be. We are not strong enough, and we don't have such a strong movement and such a public debate. We are also having a overall political situation. Everybody knows this. The German government is very conservative, is very concerned about its power in Europe. The whole Greece situation is not leaving any illusions about how Germany might be progressive in any possible way. It won't be. It is backing the security community, it's backing intelligence, it will not change anything for the good. This current government won't. And I don't see how the general political course of that is going to change sometime soon. We have a Social Democrat Party that's very good on verbally presenting itself as being very critical, like, this is how Social Democrat parties work in general, but are not moving one bit to actually change anything for the good. Given that situation, it's not much hope that I have. And again, I think if we manage to find out about how this works, how it technically works, what their problems are and what their weaknesses are, this might eventually help us at some point in the future. It's a very weak hope that I have, but I'm still going there because I think, yeah, now or never.
Hi, Anna. Thanks for your work. Very interesting, your talk. I had a question about the Netzpolitik scandal and the chilling effect on, perhaps, and will that have a chilling effect? Was that also demonstratives reaching out to their work, publishing the live blog, for example, not just the NSU? And of course, they've been complaining that so many things have been leaked to the press that have been intrinsically in the inquiry. Is this a bad omen, or did that fail so badly that it's engendered more rage against the government? What do you think? Thank you.
As for the Netzpolitik team, I don't think that was chilling. I think that was more encouraging, but he's sitting over there, so you can ask Andre about that one. And for the rest of like everybody else, I think that totally works. I mean, that has a very chilling effect because we are, as the people who work with these documents, it's pretty clear who they are addressing when they're saying we are going to start so many more legal cases if more of this stuff gets published. And that means that, I mean, we already know when we do this work that we are probably under surveillance by all the intelligence services you can think of, plus now all the security institutions in Germany trying to find whether we are making this much of a mistake in saying one little wrong thing, and then we, on top of everything else, also have a legal investigation going on against us. Of course, that works. But then again, I mean, we had this scare from the very beginning as well. We know that this is going on. We know that the government really doesn't like what's going on. So we are pretty careful about what we say. There's a number of journalists who are extremely unhappy about us being so restrictive about what we share and what we don't. And that is a problem. I mean, you could also say, well, isn't it worth risking my personal well-being and liberty for the cause of the thing? I'm not very courageous when it comes to that. I would rather keep doing my work and hope that this in itself already helps to get a lot of stuff out in the open. There is obviously there's a bunch of people, probably not in parliament, but in the ministries and in intelligence who are leaking information because, as you said, it's leaking all over the place, which is why the governments are saying this cannot continue. Whether that's going to be more or less, it's kind of difficult to say. I think it's quite obvious that a lot of people see the necessity to get this stuff out currently. And a lot of people who are really after publishing it, like, again, like I said, there's a bunch of media teams who are publishing this information. And my impression is after this current case of treason investigation ended up in the general prosecutor being fired, people will continue to push this issue and continue to publish. I'm told that I need to stop because another talk is coming up, which I'm really sorry about. There's one question. Can we maybe still have that?
I wonder if it would be useful for there to be like an international Friends of this committee form, just a collective of people who might be able to offer whatever resources, or at least brainstorm whatever resources might be. Yeah, and that's something that we could talk about at the Quadrature meeting also. But that might be an easy thing to form, and then we mobilize at least the resources that are available for people that are interested, you know, sitting here and the rest of, you know, the camp. And then at least you would also have a place to kind of ask for particular things. And my second thought is, I wonder if it would be useful to have, and this may already exist, I may have just missed it, but just a really obvious international, like these five organizations support this committee's work, or just some sort of more public international solidarity statement, because I'm, don't see very much attention to it outside of Germany, but that's all. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And just to answer that very briefly, I think anything that supports our work is highly welcomed, like totally. And I think one of the reasons why there is little international attention is because it's all happening in German. It's complicated legalese and no fun to follow already for the German public, difficult to follow because it's so much stuff and the topics are changing all the time and it's not simple. So I think what would be totally fantastic to have is people who kind of pick off what Netzpolitik is doing, who are writing about each of the sessions and do some kind of English coverage. I think that would probably be a great first step in helping to get outside of Germany what's happening. And then just networking and sharing some of the debates that are happening in other countries, like already to know that France is also having a debate about mass versus targeted surveillance. And I'm sure there's tons of other of these kinds of things that would be great to share, to have some kind of platform for then people who don't follow so closely to kind of get a bit of an understanding of what's actually happening and what's being discussed and what are maybe also issues that travel across borders, basically, because I'm sure that there's similar debates in different countries, and it always helps to understand. I mean, the intelligence are cooperating all the time, so I think we need to as well. Sounds good to me. Well, thanks very much.